Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
On this episode of T-Bone Speaks, we've got a flashback interview for you where T-Bone was interviewed on the Dentalpreneur podcast. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dentalpreneur podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Costas, and today we have a special treat because we are talking to a guy that I respect a whole lot. He is a repeat guest on the Dentalpreneur podcast. His name is Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Now, if you guys don't remember, Tarun is a full-time practicing dentist. He's an author, a speaker. He's the founder of 3D Dentists. He's the host of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And if you haven't heard about him, or if you haven't heard him speak, or you haven't heard him on a podcast, you're missing out. So you're in for a treat today. How are you doing today, Tarun?
I'm great, Mark. I mean, that's very nice of you. I don't know if my wife told you that I was feeling bad and sent you some money to pump me up a little bit.
Well, hey, man. All the accolades that you get are well deserved. I just recently, this is cool. It was actually the first time I think that I've met you in person. I got to hang out with you in Nashville at the Voices of Dentistry Summit. And, it was cool to put a name with a face, with a voice, and, shake your hand and hang out with you at that event.
And then you visited literally 20 minutes from my home and didn't come say hello.
Oh.
I mean, so I obviously left a really good impression on you.
Oh my gosh. I was kicking myself. Yeah. I visited Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I was invited to speak by the dental students there. And that was actually a whole lot of fun. And I put the picture up on Facebook and you're like, dude, you're like right down the street from my house. And I was already
literally
on my way home.
No big deal. I get it. Listen, as a traveling dentist myself, I get it. When you get out, you want to get home. You know, there are times where there are friends I want to meet, and I'm just like, the choice is I can meet a friend or I can get home to my wife and kids. And even though sometimes they may not want me home and I may not want to go home, I just prefer to get less wrath. So sometimes you make wise choices.
Totally. So speaking of, you're actually on the road right now. You're in Michigan, right? And you're speaking at a Sirona conference?
Yeah, I'm Grand Rapids doing a 3D here. And actually, I was in Orlando. The reason a little bit of our pre-conversation was going on was I was in Orlando on Wednesday, and I spoke at the ADSO meeting to their entire group. And every time I go there, I feel smaller about myself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the entrepreneur in me, the business person in me says, why don't I have multiple practices? And then, you know, it's interesting. There's goods and bads to all of it. And you would know better than me about the goods and bads of it. You know, I was speaking there on technology and, you know, every time I go there, I feel bad about myself. I'm like, I think I want to do this. And, You know, but then I talk to some of the guys, you know, the problem for me is oftentimes I'm talking to the people that have 30, 40, 50, 100 practices.
Yes.
And they're far removed from the day to day in terms of like being the dentist part of it. Right. And so it sounds really good. And it sounds like, hey, I can be a true business person. And then I run into people I know and they're like, you know, I'm like four practices into this. And let me tell you, it's a pain in the ass. And, yeah. You know, or this. But, you know, they all say, hey, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. But they all say without a doubt that it is harder than they thought it was, but it's worth it. And so when I hear that, my initial reaction is, man, I don't think I want to do this. But part of me still wants to consider doing it. And I just got to one day get up off my butt and do it, I think. But I've got to give some other things up in my life to be able to do it.
Yeah. Like dentistry. Cause I'm trying to do it. You know, I'm still a full-time practice. Well, I wouldn't call myself full-time, about 22 hours a week. And then we have the 9 practices now, but boy, exactly what you said. It's more work than I thought it was going to be. I've done this one time before. I built 6 practices and then sold 4 of them and hung out with 2 for a while, but now I'm back up to 9 and it's a different thing now. There's a whole lot of challenge as far as financing and, finding the right, practices is extremely time consuming, finding the right associates and the right team members. There's a lot to it, but I can see the huge benefits because I've seen people come out the other side of this. And they all say the same thing. It was worth it, but it was more work than they thought it was going to be.
And, you know, ultimately I think the decision has to be is what is the other side? I mean, ultimately I look at the other side as just money, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have, you know, if you don't have a cause, you know, what, and I say this because I don't know the difference personally, because what's the difference in 5 million and 10 million or 10 million and 30 million? I mean, really at that stage, what really is the difference? I mean, how much better of a life can you live or what more are you going to do in life? And I guess for me is the hard part is I don't see really the difference to myself, at least.
You know, it's funny because I just watched the Warren Buffett. They have this documentary on HBO right now. I think it's called Becoming Warren Buffett or The Making of Warren Buffett or something like that. And they just show his, you know, he lives an extremely simple life. He has, I was actually there. I took a picture out in front of his house in Omaha, Nebraska, cause he's one of my heroes, but you know, the guy is amassed, they say close to $70 billion. And, he's reaching the end of his life. He's 86 years old and he's like, you know, he's not giving any of it to his kids. He's giving, I think each of his kids and his grandkids get $1 million, which doesn't even scratch the surface of his wealth. Because he doesn't want them to be entitled. He wants them to work hard for their money. He's funding their nonprofits, but he's not giving them a ton of money, as heirs. So he's giving it all away, like to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and to his own, nonprofits that he's choosing to fund. But, you know, billions and billions of dollars are going back to the world that he has amassed, like over his lifetime. And, he never had a yacht and he's got a private jet, but he doesn't have multiple houses and stuff. So you're right. Like when you have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of your life and not have to pick up a handpiece or do anything else, like what more do you need? I don't even know if it's good for future generations to give them too much of your wealth.
You know, I think there's some disingenuousness to some of those things, though. I mean, at the end of the day, when you grow up around billions of dollars, it's not like you grew up wanting for anything, right? I'm talking about as kids.
Yeah.
And, I'd like to say I'm going to give my kids $1 million only. God willing, I hope I have $1 million to give them. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, what I look at is I want to leave my kids or some the people around me enough to get started in life or to chase their dreams. But listen, I don't really want to talk too much about that nonsense because it makes me feel bad. It's crazy talk. It drives the inner greed in me, I guess, a little bit. So I rather not.
Yeah, you know, they say comparison is the thief of joy. I think
it is.
Who was that?
It is.
I think that was Roosevelt.
It was probably the Google.
Yeah, you know, it's funny though. I went to the Group Evolution conference put on by my friend Heidi Arndt. She was there too at the ASDO meeting that you were at. And same thing. I was sitting there as an attendee. It was one of the few conferences I went to where I wasn't speaking. And, you know, the guys at my table had 30 practices. The guy up on stage had 152 practices. And you start to feel really bad about yourself, but you're right. You know, gut check time. It's like, well, why am I actually doing this? Like, for me, this is the God's honest truth. After a certain amount of money, it doesn't matter. I do it because I enjoy it. I actually enjoy this. It's my hobby, building businesses and finding practices. That's what I enjoy doing. I'd rather do that than, you know, our friend Howard says all the time, I'd rather take out four wisdom teeth than play a round of golf. I think that I would rather find a good, cool practice and turn it around than play a round of golf, honestly.
Yeah, you know, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's at the end of the day, if you really think about it, the people that, number one, the person that can build 150, 200 practice, whatever it is, that person isn't doing it to get the money and retire. That person is then going to maybe take 6 months, a year off, and then do something, another project again. I mean, I've seen it over and over again with some patients of mine. They make their money, and then I'm like, so what are you going to do now? They're like, well, I'll probably take 6 months off and do something else. You know, so... Yeah.
That's what they do. I mean, that's what drives them. That's what drives them. They don't consider it work.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no different. I mean, it's just, but that's good. So let's talk some dentistry. Let's give people some good stuff here. So what are we going to do today?
Yeah. I want to talk about so many things. I've actually gotten a bunch of questions because I had told some of my listeners, some of my clients actually that I was going to be interviewing you for the second time. And I have a bunch of questions that they submitted. I'm not going to read them out loud, but I have topics that they wanted to cover with you. The first was, this is from...
And I'll go as long, I can go as long as 3 hours. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So first of all, you were on another podcast talking about in-office financing, and that piqued the interest of a lot of my listeners and my clients. So... Can you talk about what you do in your office for in-office financing?
So, I need to clarify that a little bit. I don't want to use the word in-office financing because as soon as you get into the financing world, you become regulated by banks or banking regulations when you charge interest.
Understood.
So what we do is I look at it this way. I break how patients can pay into ultimately two ways. They can pay directly themselves. Well, three ways, technically. They can pay directly themselves. They can have the insurance make a portion of their payment, or they can set up what I call firm financial arrangements. And underneath firm financial arrangements, patients can choose true third-party financing, or they can choose our internal payment plan, which is short-term, no interest, equal payments type of thing.
Okay.
So we've implemented this now 3-4 years ago, maybe even a little bit, about 3-4 years ago. And it's done wonders for our practice in the sense that it makes things easy for our patients. And it allows our patients to choose to do more than a single tooth of dentistry.
Yeah.
It allows our patients to choose, some elective things that they wouldn't have done. And, it's allowed us to expand our practice from that perspective. You know, it's really, really helpful on our elective dentistry. Like implants, like sleep apnea, like night guards, like, you know, cosmetic treatment, things like that. So it's been unbelievable there. But there are a couple of keys with that. One is, we don't charge any interest.
Okay.
Two, we do it with a credit card automated on file.
Okay.
So it's a recurring payment through our credit card processor. Mm-hmm. And then three, we take a good percentage of a down payment before we schedule their appointment.
Okay. Okay. And the strategy about the down payment, what have you found? Why did you implement that part of the plan?
Well, because, I want to minimize my risk. At the end of the day, okay. I mean, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, since I'm not earning interest on the money, you know, what benefit do I have in it if I'm a busy practice?
Sure.
You know, let's say I'm already busy enough or whatever it may be, which I think that's a fallacy. And we could probably talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But, So I wanted to have patients have skin in the game. And in the beginning, I was only doing it like 2 or 3 months. So what I did in the beginning was 25% down and then 3 equal payments.
Okay.
So that was essentially 4 months, no interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we started seeing patients ask, hey, as our treatment plans got a little bit bigger, we started seeing patients say, can we do 6 months? And now we're seeing patients say 9 to 12 months even. And so for me, the general rule I have on this is it's got to make sense for your practice. Okay. You can't do things that are stupid. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like for me, I wanted patients to have something in it. I'm not a furniture store that can do 24 months, no interest, because I have so much margin in my product.
Yeah.
Okay. My product is me. So, I mean, I've got to make money along the way. So I do 25% is my minimum down payment. We don't falter from that at all.
Okay.
Okay. And then when we go to 6 months, I do 33% down payment. And then if we do 12 months, I do a 50% down payment.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
You said 12 months, 50%. Sorry, I'm taking notes here. 12 months.
50%. Yeah.
Okay.
50%. And the reason is at the end of the day, why would somebody choose 3 months over 12 months if the down payment was the same?
Yeah.
I'm only extending my risk. So I want to minimize our risk, and I want to see, does a patient really need 12 months? Or, you know, at the end of the day, I want to cover myself. That's really what it boils down to. And if somebody can't do the down payment, then I say, no problem. It's not like it ends there. We have third-party financing. We can go with companies like Care Credit. I mean, that's who we use. You know, all the different companies that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can use something like that. So it's not like it's the end of the road at that for our patients. But if somebody's, you know, I can't go but so much. It essentially is what it boils down to.
So what does this do to your accounts receivable and your production to collections ratio and all that business? Does it throw it off hugely, or is the cash flow good?
It does in the beginning. Okay. So the first, let's call it the first 6 months, you are going to definitely, your AR is going to go up and your collections ratio is going to go down.
Right.
But then after that, it should just be a rolling average. You know, at the end of the day, it should just all equal out and level out at that point. But the key also in this is, part of the key in this is that you have to present this option to every patient. You can't pick and choose who you present this to. And that's what I call having a financial menu. So we literally have a financial menu that we give to every patient. Okay. Mm. And we let every patient choose which option they want.
I love that.
So we're not just picking and choosing who we're presenting this to. And then the other key in this, because I want to be totally truthful and honest about all of this is, like we have parameters that we allow this to work in. And I don't know the exact numbers anymore because I'm far removed from it now at 3 or 4 years in.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, I'm not financing $200 worth of treatment.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so you have a level where you will present this.
No. We've created an Excel sheet that essentially has formulas where we put the top line number in. It only gives the patients the options that we allowed them to see.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Okay. So for example, you know, like to give examples is like, and I'm making numbers up. Okay. This has to be done on a per practice basis. Mm-hmm. But for example, is I'm unwilling to do in-office payment plans for less than $500.
Okay. 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 So that's your threshold.
Let's pretend that's my threshold for 3 months. Okay.
Okay.
And then for 6 months, my threshold may be $1,000 minimum. Okay. And then for 12 months, my threshold may be $4,000 minimum. And okay. Then I also have maximum levels on it as well.
Gotcha.
So my maximum level on 3 or 4 months might be $5,000 or $6,000. On the 6 months might be $6,000 or $7,000. On the 12 months, it might be $10,000 or $12,000. It just depends on what your practice is comfortable with. And those thresholds have changed over time.
Okay. So let me ask you a couple detailed questions that pop into my head. So each time you give a treatment plan, if they beat the threshold, if they're above $500, is the treatment plan coordinator going through the entire financial menu, or do they just kind of feel around and say, are you interested in pursuing treatment? Are they asking certain questions to see what they're going to present as far as options?
We have it on our desktop in our computer and soon in our iPads. Okay. So we type the treatment in, we type the number in, and we print the form out and give it to the patient. Now we do review it with the patient.
Okay.
But I never liked the whole feeling like the salesperson finding out, oh, will you be able to pay all up front? Because there's a certain level of patient that doesn't want to ask for payment. There's a level of machismo where you don't want to ask for payment plans.
Yeah.
But yet, if you can see, like, how about this? I can afford a lot of things in life, but if I see a no interest option, I'm always going to choose it. Always.
Sure.
Because it's logical, right? So it's the same thing. So I present it to every patient. We print it out for every patient, and then we give it to them. And that's for the other reason for that is that's also our record keeping that we presented patients their treatment, that we, you know, that they accepted what they've signed for. We also have the patient sign it. So that way, if anything were to ever come up, we have a signed record that we went over these options with you.
Okay. So who on your team is going through every month and dinging credit cards?
It's automated. It does not every month, every day. It's totally automated. See, these things only work if they're automated, Mark. If you have to have somebody remember to do it, it's a not good system. Okay. It's not a system then. Right. Then it's a disaster, to be quite honest with you. So any credit card system, any credit card company that you use in your practice should have recurring payments. Okay. So in other words, it's like when you buy a membership online and they charge you every month, like your cable company. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's a recurring payment, right? Every month they ding you for $99 or whatever the dollar amount is. Mm-hmm. So we go into the online software that the credit card companies have. There's no special software here. We swipe the card using our card reader. And another thing is we have card readers in every room. So we believe in taking payment and anywhere in the office. Any one of my team members can present these options to the patients, whether it's hygienist, front office, whether it's assistant or anything like that. You know, up to a certain level, at some point when cases become a little bit larger or more complex, we have dedicated people to do that. But my hygienist, you know, if we walk in and somebody needs a crown and a root canal, there's no reason for that patient to sit down with somebody else. I mean, my hygienist should be able to do that. They should be able to fire this thing out real quick. They have a relationship with the patient and say, hey, Mr. Jones, we talked about this. Here are your choices. You know, let's figure it out. Let's make it happen type of deal. Why do we have to go through this entire dance to make things happen? But you got to have a credit card automated. So every day we get an email from our credit card processor that said these cards went through, and then we manually enter it into our practice system. Now, what would be nice is if our practice management systems got with the 2017 Sentry and did the built in. But they're too busy trying to figure out how to take more money from us for electronic services.
This is so cool. So do you have this form for sale, or
I'm working on that. You know, these are the other things in life. You know, yes, the answer will be yes. What do you think I could sell something like that for? At the end of the day, you could go on Fiverr.com and get somebody to make it for you in India for $10.
yeah, but I mean that's the whole thing. It's like outsourcing is awesome, but you have to have the time to shop around for the right you know, the right developer, and it's just a pain.
I should do it. I'd probably $100 or something like that.
Sure. Here's what I'll do. I'm gonna put the screws to you. I'm gonna have you email it to me, and then I'll share it with all the listeners. Just kidding.
<They're good>. Exactly.
How does that work for you?
But what I should do it, and you know, listen, these are the ideas. This is what killed me about my life to a certain degree, right?
Yeah.
But listen, this is a great example of our practices too. Okay. This is not unique to me. This is everybody that's listening applies to them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am so busy doing at the end of the day, what are silly things. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yes, I make good money coming out here and speaking today. I'm not going to say I don't.
Yep.
But in the same amount of time that I spend speaking, I could have created this product that will produce residual income for me for the next 5 to 10 years.
Sure. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but why do you do that? I travel a lot. I've been in 13 cities in 2017. I've been traveling my butt off. And every time I have when I'm sitting in an airport and I'm squished into a seat, and I'm starving because, you know, we had a layover or whatever, and I have peanuts to eat. And I'm hating the whole travel thing. I'm thinking to myself, man, I could be back home either producing dentistry or buying another damn practice, but I just love speaking so much. We get paid well to do it, but not as much as we would if we stayed home. So what is your rationale for getting on the road and speaking so much?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3d-dentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Well, a couple of things. One, I would say you should get paid at least as much as you would at home.
Right.
Okay. So, So that's my first thing is I won't leave unless I get paid as much. So another thing is I take a long-term view at it. Let's say from the short term. Okay. Let me back up. From the short term, the reason I speak is at the end of the day, I really do like helping people.
Yeah.
I think dentistry is, and I truly mean this, because I could have chose to do anything in my life. And I chose to do dentistry because I really do believe it's the greatest profession. Where else can business idiots make a lot of money owning practices, right? Because we all own small businesses and some of us are completely business dumb.
Yep.
And there's so much outside of our day-to-day practice that we can do. So I think dentistry is being misled a lot by our so-called gurus that haven't practiced in 10 years or who aren't doing it on a daily day-to-day basis. And I think there's a certain level that you lose from that. So for me is I want dentists to understand that there's so much more than being a mechanic. I believe that if you've been practicing 10 years or more, that you shouldn't be doing fillings. There's other people to do that for you.
Okay.
So that's part of the reason I do it. The other reason is from a medium-term perspective, I need to get out there and I want to, you know, promote our hands-on workshops and some of the other things that we're doing. So I want to reach out to those people as well. And then from a long-term view is I never intend to retire. I always say I want to be able to be done, but that doesn't mean retire for me. And I look at speaking and education as a way to to be able to do something forever, because I don't want to sit around and do nothing. So I want to establish my name and my credibility to be able to do this until, you know, until I literally can't or I'm not invited back anymore. One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer. There's a lot of those same points that, those are some of the reasons that I enjoy speaking as well. I really get a rush from it. I enjoy going out and shaking hands and actually meeting people. I think it's very, very cool. So that's why I put up with it at this point. I think that it's the succession plan. I think you're right. That's a really good answer. All right. I'm going to move on with some of these topics that, that people have emailed me.
Do we answer the in-office payment plans well?
Oh my gosh. So good. So good. So, I'm going to have you leave your contact information at the end of the episode, and I'm going to have people email you and poke at you to come up with something that they can buy as far as,
yes.
And I'll do the same thing. I'll poke at you too. All right. The second one. Okay. So this is kind of a combined question. I want to know, and so do my listeners and my clients. They want to know, you have a very, very technologically advanced practice, and you have an advanced clinical suite of services that you offer to your patient base, which is probably why you have such a big, vibrant practice. If you were to make a slow transition from a bread and butter dental practice that is very, very light on technology, what would be the steps that you would take, and which services would you start to integrate into your practice?
Okay, so that's a tough question. All right, so let me give that some thought. So number one, it's okay. So the analogy I'll use on this is, and I'm not, since English is my second language, I don't know if the horse comes first or the cart comes first.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a step back, say about 10 years or 12 years in my practice. Okay.
All right.
So 10 or 12 years ago, I was a restorative only dentist. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I did. And what I found was that my practice was so dependent on big cases or, you know, things being, you know, on being in a great area. And that as soon as we started seeing, you know, a plethora of dentists in the area, or as soon as we started seeing, you know, changing trends, my practice started, you know, kind of leveling off or even going down. And so I decided that I needed to add new services to the practice. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have the skills I have today before. It's not like I was surgically oriented. It's not like I was very good at orthodontics. It's not like I honestly even graduated in the top half of my dental school class. Mm-hmm. I use technology as that crutch to get me moving forward.
Okay.
So I leverage technology to add these services to my practice. And I think that's the big difference that many people, I think what they look at is they say, I want to learn implants before I add technology. And how I did it was totally the backwards opposite of that. I said, you know what? I'm going to get the technology to make implants easier for me. I'm going to get CAD/CAM technology to make implants easier, to make restorative dentistry more patient-centric. I'm going to add, you know, cone beam to, I'm going to add an in-office HST to be able to make, to reduce the barriers for my patients to be able to accept sleep apnea therapy. I've always done it the opposite way. I've always looked at the end result of what I want and then worked backwards of what would it take to accelerate to that end result. Mm. And you can't be afraid to invest in technology. You just can't be. And number one, all of this technology in reality should be free.
Okay.
Okay. And I think that's the challenge for most people is they don't look at it as free. They look at it as an expense. But anything should produce you money. I mean, at the end of the day, it should be adding services to your practice. I mean, it's not like you're buying, you know, if you're buying a new X-ray head, I would say, okay, I mean, if you're just replacing your old X-ray head, that's an expense.
Yes.
Okay. But when you add real technology, and when I say technology, I'm not talking about digital intraoral sensors.
Okay.
I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about real technology, cone beam, CAD/CAM. 3D printing, you know, whatever it may be, things that actually add to your practice.
Okay. So my problem has always been that I agree with you 100%. I think that technology is so important, and I am technologically stunted, I would say, in all of my practices. And I believe you, and I am 100% for moving in that direction. And that's kind of the direction we're thinking about moving with my practices. What I don't like to see from, you know, a business coach's perspective and a financial advisor's kind of perspective, not that I am one, but as a
business coach and consultant, that's what you are.
Right, right. What I have the problem is I often see people whose practices are struggling and the business is way out of whack, and they go out and buy a CAD CAM or a cone beam to fix their production problem. What I like to impart on people is first fix the business, make sure that you can afford this, right? I mean, like that it's a smart buy and that you're going to get the ROI from this, and then move forward with the technology. That's my only problem with these huge ticket items.
Those are the assumptions I make.
Right.
Okay. Is that people are making sound decisions. Okay. So if you have a practice that literally where you barely break even, you have another problem. Your problem isn't your suite of services necessarily. Your problem is something else. Maybe it's the wrong location. Maybe it's not enough insurances. Maybe it's too many insurances. Maybe it's not enough team members. Maybe it's too many team members. Those things have to be fundamentally fixed for you to add technology wisely to your practice. But I think, so I would look at you, Mark, okay? And I would say fundamentally, I'm going to turn the tables on you a little bit, so sure. I apologize.
Please.
So I would say fundamentally, you're in a good place. Okay. Your practices aren't struggling. Okay. All of those things. And I'll tell you that your mentality is holding your practices back. Okay. Because if you put this technology in, A, they should be free. Okay. And your practices should be able to afford these technologies. So one of the things I coach people on when they ask me questions, because listen, I'm at these events where these people are getting convinced to buy six figure items.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So one of the things I get all the time, they say, how do you know you're ready? I say, when you can make 12 months of payments without blinking an eye.
Okay.
As if you put that machine in your practice and it produced nothing and you can make 12 months worth of payments without blinking an eye, then I say you're ready. Now, it is your fault if you can't figure out how to make this work in 12 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if the learning curve is that high or your practice is that behind that you can't figure out how to make it happen in 12 months, that's not the technology's fault. But you have to go into it with a nest egg of sorts.
Yes, I understand that. And you're right. You're right. Sometimes our mindset can hold us back. And if I am constantly looking at financial reports all day long, which is what I do for my practices and my clients' practices, and I see this huge, gigantic line item that's $2,400, $3,500 bucks a month, and we can't justify it, and I see that over and over again, then I start to get this idea that technology isn't for everybody. But you're right.
Whose fault is that?
Exactly.
Is that the technology's fault or the dentist? So let me give you some examples here. And I don't mean to be argumentative.
No. I do mean to
cut you off. I get my wife. I cut people off all the time. But okay. So I apologize. These technologies have got to be free. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what people think I mean by that is like it literally needs to be free. And the answer is it's got to be free to your practice. So let me ask you this, Mark. Okay. So here's what I know. And every state's going to be a little bit different. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in the state of North Carolina, we get reimbursed approximately $350 for a cone beam x-ray, about 15 to 20% of the time through medical insurance.
Okay. Okay? I would say that's pretty accurate here in Arizona as well.
Okay. So that means I need to get six people or seven people get paid to make that machine free. So what I would say to you is then if you look at your clients, let's just use your clients or you even, for example, mm-hmm. I would say, are you medical billing?
No.
And the answer is going to be no. So then to me is you're in a way you're blaming the technology because you or your clients or somebody else hasn't taken the opportunity to leverage that technology in new ways. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing, listen, and I do a lot of the training for people that buy this technology. It amazes me. When I train, north of 2/3 of the people that have cone beam aren't taking it on "quote unquote" every patient, and to me, that's sacrosanct. I mean, why in the world would you buy a technology that allows you to see things that you didn't know existed, mm-hmm. if you just don't take it on everybody?
Right.
So, So to me, those are things that people are doing that are counterintuitive to, and they give the technology a bad name. So you're right. Not everybody is ready for technology. And yes, the technology has an upfront signature that's required. Okay.
Yeah.
But these technologies truly can be free, but we just have to have a little bit of faith that it can happen.
This episode is being brought to you by Unified Smiles. One of the big benefits that medium and large dental groups have over the solo practitioner is their ability to leverage and negotiate with their suppliers, labs, and service providers. This gives them the distinct advantage in the marketplace. But what if there was a company that was designed to offer the same advantages as the big boys, whose main purpose it was to find you the very best deal and to keep your overhead under control? That would be a huge benefit to the solo practitioner. Well, that's exactly what Unified Smiles is designed to do. Now, if you've participated in other buying groups with little or no success, here's where Unified Smiles is different. They actually assign you an overhead reduction specialist that works directly with you and your team to identify opportunities to decrease overhead. And if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, or if you've read my book, you'll know that overhead and cash flow control is one of my pillars to dental success. Now, I'm proud to say that I'm a client of their service, and I've been thrilled with their overhead reduction that they've been able to help me realize in my practices, as well as their dedicated team and their great customer service. Now, we hear from our customer service rep consistently, and they're always working to find better deals and to negotiate with all of our service providers, our labs, and even our suppliers. So if you'd like more information, just visit unifiedsmiles.com. That's unifiedsmiles.com. Or you can call them at 1-844-US-UNITE. That's 1-844-US-UNITE. And make sure you tell them that I sent you.
I get it. So let's go back to the, and I appreciate that response. So let's go back to the question of what would you do first if you were trying to integrate technology and increase your clinical suite? If you were starting your practice all over again without the knowledge base that you have right now, where would you start?
Okay. So again, I always, I would say, what is my market need? Okay. So for me, it's all about what the market needs. Okay. So if I'm a bread and butter practice doing bread and butter dentistry, doing 30, 40 crowns a month, whatever the 10, 20, 30 crowns a month, whatever the number is, mm-hmm. my first foray into technology would be CAD/CAM.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Because it solves an immediate need in my practice. Okay. It's not going to require me to add new services right away, but it's going to create more efficiencies and leverage becoming patient centric in the practice. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that's one way of looking at it. Okay. The other way of looking at it is I would say, hey, listen, this is the part of the problem, Mark, is how many dentists know how many patients they're referring out for any particular procedure?
Ah, that's a great question. And almost none. percentage, especially the dollar amount.
Right. And so to me, technology always gets lumped into these six-figure items. Let me give you another piece of technology. This is a good little point here. The best technology I spent on Endo was $2,000. I spent $2,000. I bought a J. Marita Triauto ZX. It's a cordless handpiece with an apex locator built into it.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So I said to myself at one point, I said, you know what? I'm referring out 7 or 8 Endos per month. Or 10 endos per month. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, you know what? Why am I referring half of those out? Let's say half of them I can do. And the truth was, is I didn't have a good way of doing them. So I went and saw what some good technology was. And technology doesn't always cost a lot of money. And I said, okay, if I implemented this, then I can make my life easier. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that, but the outside part of that is I looked at what my market needed. Okay. And by market, I mean my practice base. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would say that if you're referring out a significant amount of endo, then the first step you need to do is learn how to do endo. And the answer can't be, I don't like to do endo. You don't like to do endo because you don't have a good way of doing it.
Right.
Okay. So you know, I would start something there. I would say, what are the things that I'm referring out that I could be doing internally? And that's where I would start. Okay. So if you're referring out a lot of extractions, then learn how to do extractions. If you're referring out a lot of bone grafting, then learn how to do bone grafting. If you're referring a lot of endo, learn how to do endo. Okay. If you're a what I call a traditional general dentist, one that does lots of those things, okay, or already has that skill set, then you're into skill expansion mode. Okay. Right. Now you need to go beyond what I call general dentistry, and you need to go into advanced dentistry. So advanced dentistry to me would be things like implants, some orthodontics, things along that line. And then I would look into skill enhancement. And then if I'm looking into skill enhancement, then I think the most logical step is cone beam, because 3D imaging allows you to see what you can't see. It makes implantology much easier as long as you know the basic fundamentals, because you can do virtual planning. You can use surgical guides to place your implants. So a lot of those fears of anatomical vital structures getting in the way, a lot of those things about not putting it in straight, not putting it in the right spot, knowing which cases you should and shouldn't tackle will go away from because of that. Mm-hmm. So then in a skill expansion mode, I think cone beam imaging, C3D imaging is a logical step.
Okay, great. Great answer. Okay, next topic on my list, and you alluded to this in one of your previous answers, and that is medical billing and sleep apnea. So give us the quick answer on how we just jump right into sleep apnea and medical billing.
Well, the selfish answer for me would be to tell you to come to our super weekend where we do 3 days of medical billing and sleep apnea all at once.
Okay, when is that? And I'm coming.
Okay, so I'll let you come as my guest.
Oh, cool.
It's April 21st, 22nd. Something. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the end of April.
Okay.
21st, 22nd. All they got to do is contact me or go to the website, T-Bone. If they just go to my podcast website, tbonespeaks.com, okay. it'll take them to everything there.
Okay.
But so I don't want to be too commercial on this, okay?
No, please. So, go ahead.
But so what we're doing in this, and here's the rules on, don't you love it when you get to a point where you can have rules of how you do things? And that's what I love about my practice and my career. I've created rules and see, that's, I don't want to get on another soapbox. Okay. But I have rules. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you, and I mean this for you too, or any of your listeners want to come to this seminar, here's how it works. You have to come with an assistant and you have to come with a front office person or you can't come.
Oh.
And,
I like that.
And the dentist has to come too.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, so if you're not coming with the right team members, I live on having success. Okay. So I want to be surrounded by successful people. I want people, because here's the deal. The fee is the same whether you bring them or don't bring them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we charge the same no matter what.
Okay. Okay.
But I know from personal experience that you will not be successful if you don't have a front office person to champion your medical billing, and if you don't have a clinical team member to champion your sleep apnea.
Mm.
Okay. So, and I know this from just pure having done it and tried it, having gone to training courses myself, having sent team members without me to training courses, and I've seen the results that it led. And I'd like to think I'm a smart person that implements things. And until we all went together, until I got us all on the same page, it just didn't work.
Okay.
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 So that to me is the key. And the other key is we're not about, I'm not about the knowledge, the science part of these things. If you want to learn the science, you can go on the Google, you can go on the YouTube, you can go to all these scientific conferences. I'm not about those things. I make assumptions that you understand the fundamentals of it and that you need a pathway, a tried and true implementation strategy of how to make this work in your practice.
Mm-hmm.
So our focus is on that. It's not on all the other stuff.
It's the tactical stuff. Yep. Go ahead.
It's how to do it. I mean, it's appointment one, appointment two, appointment three, appointment four. It's who's doing what, who's doing this. What do I have to have at these stages to get everything done? I mean, it's not about what is sleep apnea. Just go on the Google and learn how to do that. I mean, for God's sakes,
yeah.
You know, that's not what you're paying me a lot of money for. Okay. That's how I do that stuff. Okay. So now So this will be another one. Does the horse or the cart come first? Sleep apnea can be done. Okay. If you want to do one or two appliances a month, you don't need medical billing. You'll find patients that are willing to pay out of pocket for it. Okay. But if you want to make it a bigger portion of your practice, then you're going to have to leverage medical insurance, because the patient's number one question is going to be always, how much does it cost me and how am I going to pay for it? Right. Mm-hmm. And this comes back to what we talked about in the first segment, which was our in-office payment options. Okay. So now I can leverage, you see how everything builds on each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now we have something that on average, and again, the state of North Carolina and many states are like this, we get paid approximately $3,000 per appliance. That's what that appliance is worth to us.
Okay.
Okay. From a production and collections perspective. Okay. Mm-hmm. On, let's say on average, our patients are paying anywhere from, let's say zero doesn't count because we do have some patients that pay nothing out of pocket. But let's say the patients are on average paying anywhere from $300 to $800 out of pocket. Okay. So now we need to have something on the back end to make patients afford that.
Okay.
And that's where my 3 month, 6 month in-office payment plan suddenly comes in. And now my patients can pay $50 to $80 or $100 a month to afford something that's going to change their life. And I know that of that 3,000, 2,000, 2,200 is coming from medical insurance, which they just may take a long time to pay sometimes, but they're at least good for the money.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
They're worth billions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I give my patients a way to, in other words, my goal is to make for the patient to simply, if they want to say no, they literally don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be any barriers in the way. Okay. So medical insurance will play a dramatic part of sleep apnea. Okay. So now let me start talking about medical insurance. Okay. So here's what I found with medical insurance. Okay. There are so many things that we do for free that medical insurance will cover. And let me make this blanket statement. Okay. Medical insurance will vary from state to state, plan to plan, and carrier to carrier. Okay. Okay. They're just variances among states. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that will vary, and here's what dentists get in trouble. Okay. And this is where our biases come in the way, is Mark, you're a self-employed person, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you buy your own health insurance, correct?
Correct.
And how much is your deductible?
I have a huge one, 5,000.
Okay. Why do you have a huge deductible?
Because I want to pay less and my family's relatively healthy.
Okay. But that's not the complete answer. It's because you are buying an individual plan.
Oh, true. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, when you work with people that buy group plans, people that have JOBs, mm-hmm. okay, those people, their deductibles are significantly less than yours. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Their deductibles are going to be, if they work at a normal, like a good corporation, their deductible is going to be in the $500 to $1,000 ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if they, or the deductible is going to be in the $2,000 ballpark. Okay.
Okay.
And most families today are going to meet their deductible. Okay. Bottom line, if right. you have kids, you're going to meet your deductible one way or another. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have it in our own head because our deductibles are so high for our individual plan that we assume everybody else's deductible is that high. Now, some deductibles are that high, but let me tell you, those people work at, they have JOBs, jobs that don't have the best benefits, but those are also people that don't necessarily have the money to afford some of the treatments that we want to do. Okay.
Okay.
So in our area, at least, where people have, normal jobs in the Research Triangle Park, we have people that have good jobs. We're seeing deductibles in the 2000 and below ballpark. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's not unusual. Okay?
Okay.
So now medical insurance, here's what I'll tell everybody. These are things, generally speaking, that you're doing that most of us are doing as giveaways. Okay. So some examples I'll give you is, Mark, in your practice, if you see a patient for a prophy three times, how do you bill for that third periodic exam?
Oh, they have to pay that out of pocket.
And do your patients pay that, or are you obligated to write that off through some of your contracts?
Oh, no, no, they pay it.
Okay. And your patients actually pay it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you're unique. Most offices, they write it off. Okay.
Okay.
Or they don't charge because in dental, you're typically limited to two exams per year, correct?
Right. Right.
So in medicine, they don't have that limitation.
Okay.
So we can do as many, I don't want to say as many exams as we want, but we can do 4, 5, 6 exams, no problem. Okay. So let me ask you this also. You do free consultations in your practice.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So those consultations could be reimbursable through medical insurance. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So now let me ask you this. What happens when you take a tooth out and you have to do sutures and you see your patient for follow-up? What's your fee for the follow-up?
Oh, we eat that too.
Okay. So that's another procedure that's another exam or visit that can be billable to medical insurance.
Okay. We're all wondering how to do it.
Okay. No, I get that. Now I got to get you to see, here's the challenge. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I've learned is that we go to these courses or we hear from other people how they're getting reimbursed for fancy procedures, what I call fancy procedures. Fancy procedures, number one, have a low success rate and they're unbelievably hard and time consuming to do. Fundamentally, what I'm trying to get dentists to understand, is our focus needs to be on the everyday procedures. Okay. I call it, I will $20 you to death. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So here's another example. How many times have you taken out a tooth and have you scraped out a pretty big booger out of it?
Oh, geez. Daily?
Daily. Okay. So what's your reimbursement for scraping out that booger?
Nothing.
Okay. So that's a billable procedure to medical insurance.
That's awesome. And what do you call that? Curettage or something like that?
What? It's a granuloma or a cyst removal, depending on what type of it is you take out, correct? And so these are the things that I try to get dentists to look at, okay? I try to say, let's look at those things that we're already doing that we're getting reimbursed less for or not at all. So here's the other example that I'm going to give to you. In the state of North Carolina, our reimbursement is approximately $150 for a new patient exam through medical insurance.
Okay.
And your reimbursement through dental insurance is probably $40, $50, maybe $55.
True.
Okay. So that's a $100 increase in revenue per new patient that we see.
That's incredible.
But here's even better about that. That $50, $60 that you took from you. So if your patient comes to you twice a year and just from exams alone, they're going to eat $100 up to $120 of their allowable, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I now line shift that from dental to medical, I've left their entire dental intact still.
Right. That's more benefits that you can use strictly dentally related. Right. Yep.
For restorative treatment,
sure.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are the side benefits of it. Okay. So in terms of how to do it, number one, the first and most important step is you've got to collect medical insurance cards from every patient.
Okay.
Okay. And to this day, if you ask our team, if you ask me, I will say what holds us back from doing better with medical insurance is not getting the card from every single patient.
Interesting. Okay.
Because we're just not used to it. We're so used to getting dental insurance cards, but not getting medical insurance cards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that also is your patients don't always bring the medical insurance information to them, but that's where your team has to learn to follow up with them to follow up and get that information. Or if the practice management systems were more into the 2017 century, our patients would go online and provide their information to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of medical insurance, everything's based on medical necessity. Okay. So in other words, in dentistry, you just put a code in like 02750 or a crown. They don't ever ask you, why did you do that crown? There's no code that goes with that. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And in medicine, there's a procedure code and then a diagnosis code.
Right.
And that diagnosis code has to meet medical necessity. And if it meets medical necessity, it goes from being a billable claim to be a payable claim. And then it goes from being a payable claim to a paid claim based on the deductible and copay and things like that.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
It does. It does.
Be more specific on how I can give you more answers on how to get this started.
No, those are very specific answers, and I appreciate that. What, you know, the word on the street is people have been to seminars on medical billing, and they'll come back and say, that was great. I tried to implement it. It just doesn't work. You know, I've heard that so many times. I've never tried it, so I don't know what they're talking about, but that's what I've heard.
Okay, so here would be my question to that. Okay. Who went to the seminar? Was it just the dentist? Was it just the front office person, or did they go together? Okay.
Okay.
Number two, did they learn to build procedures that they don't already do in their practice? Okay, or things you don't do on a regular basis. In other words, did you go to a surgical medical billing seminar where you learn how to build third molars and complex surgery, things that you're not doing on a daily basis in your practice?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I would ask is did you actually fill out claims for your own patients at the seminar?
Oh gosh. Okay. That's cool that you guys do that. Okay.
Like that. So what happens is again, I have rules. The good news is when you get to a point where you have enough, you know, when supply and demand aren't that big of a difference, is I tell people you have to come with five cases. Bring five insurance cards, five patient charts, five x-rays, whatever you got to do, and we'll fill out those claims and submit those claims on your behalf. Ooh, as a group, individual. Cool. So but see, there's the difference. And then here's the other thing. I don't think you can learn medical billing in one day.
Okay.
And let me clarify that. Okay. You can learn medical billing in one day. The problem is it's like getting hit with the fire hose of information that's so different from what we're used to. You need that second day just to reinforce the things you forgot overnight.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think those are the differences. Okay. Number one, the focus has to be on regular things that you're doing. Number two, you have to have your clinical and front office team member there with you. Okay. And number three is you have to actually do claims at the seminar. If you're not getting those components, and when I say claims, your own patient's claims. Okay. Not fake claims. I'm talking about your own patient claims that you actually submit and that you'll actually get denials or approvals for, so you can see that. And part of our training is we have a private Facebook group, a secret Facebook group that we can communicate with everybody back and forth. And since we submit the claims or help you submit the claims, we can follow up on those claims and assist your practice on those five claims, so we can see what the goods and bads are. And the other thing that's unique for us is my partner in this, so my teaching partner, not financial partner, business partner, Hutan bills in 45 of the 50 states. So he knows what's going on in each state. He can look at your state and tell you that, hey, Arizona has these issues. These things are never going to get paid in Arizona. Okay. Because the insurance company have exclusions for these. So those are the differences in what we're doing.
That is awesome. So, this seminar in April, is this, for sleep apnea and how to get that medically billed and other procedures medically billed, or just sleep apnea, or both?
So we have, let me explain it to you this way. We do a medical billing 2-day program separately. Okay. We do a sleep apnea program, 2-day program separately, or we do what we call our super weekends, where we combine them and have three long days.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So I'm trying to move towards more super weekends, because we're seeing better results, quite honestly, for our teams when they come through the super weekend. So we're trying to adjust our schedule to allow for more super weekends.
I love it. Okay. In the last 4 minutes that we have together, can you tell us about your 3D dentist trainings as well?
Yeah. So the medical billing and the sleep apnea is all part of that training as well.
Okay.
Uh-huh. In fact, it's probably 50% of all the trainings we do now, because it's such a good topic and it's such a relevant topic because honestly, for cone beam owners, for 3D imaging owners, medical billing is logical, and 3D imaging is starting to play a bigger role in sleep apnea, not from a diagnosis perspective, but from a pure communication perspective. Mm-hmm. And 3D imaging is playing a role in the therapy of sleep apnea from a workflow of actually fabricating the appliances as well. So that's part of it. And then the other component to our 3D training is implantology.
Yes.
So that's where we combine. And most of our 3D programs, when it comes to implantology, is very specific to Serona 3D and the CEREC system.
Okay.
So if you came to me and you had Plan Mecca and E4D, for example, which are great products, which are very good products, I would say to you that this isn't the right training, because our training is very specific to our implant training is very specific to their product. So my goal with them is we have two programs there. We have our basic implantology program, our integration program, mm-hmm. and our edentulous and our full arch program. Our basic program is to teach dentists how to do implants in 2 to 3 visits without ever using a laboratory, keeping it inside. By the way, do you know, Mark, your average patient that's missing a tooth, it takes them between 6 to 8 visits to get a tooth in their head?
Whoa, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, just think about it in your own practice, for example. Let's walk through that. Yeah. If I'm in your hygiene chair and I'm missing a tooth, mm-hmm. okay, let's count this as visit one. What's your next visit?
I guess my next visit would be prepping the site for or placing the implant.
Okay, so let's say that's assuming you place implants, correct?
Yeah.
And you would take records of that hygiene visit? They wouldn't come back for additional records?
Well, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. Okay. We're pretty streamlined, but yeah.
Okay, let's say you're streamlined. So your next visit's going to be place the implant. Mm-hmm. What's your third visit going to be?
We usually do kind of a torque test.
Oh, you have to do a follow-up at 2 weeks, don't you?
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, so follow up, then, you know, a couple months later, we're going to do a torque test. Yep.
Okay, so that's your fourth visit now is uncovery and torque test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's your fifth visit?
Then we're going to take the impression.
Okay, great. And then if everything goes well, your sixth visit will be deliver the restoration.
Correct.
Okay, that's 6 visits.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, if your hygienist came to you, Mark, and said, I need to take 6 visits off of work over the next 4 or 5 months to get a tooth put in my head, how would that affect your business?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy.
And the majority of your patients who can afford to have implants placed have jobs.
Right.
And see, part of my thing with dentistry is that we're losing touch with the hassles we're creating for our patients. We're not patient-centric enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. When we're creating barriers, we're making it unbelievably complicated for them to afford the dentistry that we want. We're making it unbelievably complicated in how many visits they have to come to do this. And we've lost touch with 2017 now.
Yeah.
And it's not just 2017. It's been this way for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And to me, that's what technology is about. As Mark, in my practice, I could complete that implant in 3 visits.
Okay.
So it'll cost me less because 6 visits cost more than 3 visits.
Yep. Much more convenient for the patient. Yep.
And I use it as a selling point to my patient. Okay. Yeah. And I'm more efficient at doing it. So I have about, you know, our average implant now, a single tooth posterior implant, I have about 1 hour of chair time in it total.
Hmm.
Okay. Wow. And so that's what that integration program is about. It's about getting that down to a 3 visit deal, about 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes of chair time. Making it fun. And see, here's the other issue on this. We're going to go over. I apologize. Okay.
That's all right. You're good.
So here's the other issue I have. So, and I'm going to challenge you on this. Okay. Is if I walk into your practice and I'm missing tooth number 19. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just pretend you're the hygienist. Mm-hmm. How much is it going to cost me to get that tooth replaced?
You're asking me as the hygienist?
Yeah. Pretend you're the hygienist. Let me ask you as the dentist, how much is it going to cost me to get that tooth replaced?
Well, without bone grafting, we're probably looking at about $2,800.
Okay. So when will I know if I need bone grafting or not?
Well, we're going to have to take either a CT or a pano, or we're going to have to have the doctor come in here and take a look at the quality of the bone there in that area.
Okay. So the doctor will know by looking through the gingiva?
Well, not necessarily. They're going to reflect. And yeah, I guess when you get in there, there's the opportunity that you might need something else. Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Let's go with that. Okay. So in other words, it's a game time decision to a certain degree.
Sure. Yeah.
How much more is it going to cost me if I have to have a bone graft?
Probably about another 1,000.
Okay. So you're telling me that it could be 30% more game time.
Sure. Yeah.
But you see how illogical that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're telling me that, okay, it'll be $2,800, but it's possible that it could be a total 30% more if I need a bone graft. I won't necessarily know that until I get in there and open it up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's absolutely illogical, right?
Right.
So what I'm trying to get people to do, okay? So fundamentally, here's how this is what I'm at. I'm actually writing a book on it right now.
Okay.
Is I'm trying to get dentists to understand that they have got to break their practices into 3 phases, okay? There's a general dentistry phase, there's an advanced dentistry phase, and there's an emotional dentistry phase, okay? Mm-hmm. General dentistry is restorative, root canals, simple extractions, things along that line. Those are codes. You put them in, the computer spits out the fee, okay? As soon as you get into advanced dentistry and emotional dentistry, you start making up numbers, okay? Because insurance plays a lesser and lesser role on it. So, for example, in my practice, if you were sitting with my hygienist will tell you that that implant is going to cost you $3,500 from start to finish, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it needed a bone graft, $3,500. If it didn't need a bone graft, $3,500. Now, Mark, let me ask you this. What if it needed a custom abutment?
We always bill out for the custom abutment anyway.
Okay, so you're just wasting my money. What if I don't need a custom abutment?
Well, the patient doesn't know the difference, so we give the worst case scenario typically for the customer.
But let me ask you, okay, so then let me ask you this. And then how many times do you have to use a custom abutment?
I would say maybe 50, 60% of the time.
Okay, and why do we need to use custom abutments?
I mean, it could be a space issue. It could be a matter of me not wanting to prep metal in the patient's mouth. It could be a matter of a number of different things.
Okay, so ultimately it boils down to we didn't put the implant in the right spot.
Could be.
Okay, generally speaking, okay? So to me, these are what technology. So what if I said to you, Mark, that I use custom abutments 5% of the time?
I'd be impressed.
And that's the truth. We use custom abutments about 5% of the time.
Okay.
95% of our restorations, when I'm talking about single units here, okay, are screw-retained restorations made in the office. Okay, because it starts with having an ideal plan, which comes from virtual planning, to having a surgical guide, which allows me to place that implant in the exact right spot based on the restoration and not the bone. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then having the technology to allow me to restore that implant. So let me go through the economics of implants in my practice.
Okay.
So I'm a believer at this time, as of 2017, I'm a believer in using what I call name brand implants. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's going to be a big four or five companies. Okay. Their implants, let's say on average, if you buy a reasonable amount, it's going to be about $350 each.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And then I have a surgical guide. So as a technologically oriented practice, as we get more technologically savvy, my surgical guide cost me $60 to make.
At your inside your facility, you fabricate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We mill it in the office. Cost me $60 to make.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's incredible. That's about $290 more than they usually go for. Less.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And now, since I'm not using custom restoration, I'm using customized restoration. I'm not using custom abutments. They make a product called the tie base. That tie base cost me roughly $75.
Okay.
Okay. And then my customized restoration, Ivoclar and Vita both make, what we call implant blocks. Okay. That cost me about $60.
Okay.
Okay. So all in material wise, I have about $500 to $600 in for an implant from start to finish.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. And I have about an hour of chair time on it.
Okay.
So to me, these are the unseen benefits of technology.
Yeah.
Okay. So any practitioner that has half a personality and half a business mind, these technologies are free to them because they'll find a way to make it work and they'll find a way to dramatically change the way they're doing the way they're building the practices. Listen, my practice has dramatically changed. Okay. Let me take that back. My practice hasn't changed. I've changed. Okay. My practice is still a bread and buttered practice where 70% of our dentistry is general dentistry done by our associate partner in our practice. Mm-hmm. And now I'm selectively only doing those things I love to do. And I'm busy enough with those things that we're actually going to bring on probably a half or another full associate at this point for our practice. And see, and this is where you transform. This is where you go from being a practice owner to a business owner. And ultimately that's bought me 8 to 10 weeks off a year. That's bought me good income. That's, you know, bought me all of these things. But 8 years ago, it wasn't like this. And that's my message to people is, listen, you've got to do something different. Unless you're just happy doing what you're doing, you know, you got to try something different. But anyway.
Awesome. You nailed that. Thanks, man. That's just incredible. So,
any more questions for me?
No, I will tell you this. I'm coming for sure. So expect me. I'm coming. I love your state. Speaking at the dental school is my first experience there in North Carolina. And, so I'm going to go make it back out there. So I'm going to definitely do your billing intensive, your 3-day super weekend. So I will see you there. I am going to poke at you to see, to, to, to peek behind the curtain and see exactly what that financial menu looks like. I love the idea. Just the whole idea that you say that you could run credit cards at any of the operatories is brilliant as well. There's so many takeaways.
Yeah, we have, you know, we make appointments in the back. We try to take payment in the back. And when I say we do that, it's 80% of the time we're able to do it. Our goal, my goal in my head is 100% of the time. Yeah. Reality isn't 100%. Okay.
Sure.
But our principle is 100% of the time. So that means if we can get 80%, we're pretty good.
Awesome. Oh, this is so good. Gosh, I wish I had another hour to speak with you, but I have another interview coming in about 2 minutes. But yeah, man, this is fantastic. Thank you so much. Good luck speaking today Michigan. And let's definitely have you share your contact information right now so anybody can reach out and check out your live events.
Yeah, so there's several ways to get in touch with me. One is you can email me at DrA@RaleighDentalArts.com. You can visit my website, www.tbonespeaks.com. You can reach me on Facebook at T-Bone Speaks. And then, of course, you can catch me on my podcast, which is T-Bone Speaks as well. So there's no shortages of getting in touch with me. I don't give out my cell phone number because I don't have voicemail on there. And plus, I return messages at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway. So.
Well, hey, man, thank you so much for your time. I know that you're doing this from a hotel room when you're on the road. So it's just so much appreciated. My listeners and my clients and all of my friends are going to get so much from listening to you speak in this episode. So thanks again, my friend.
My pleasure, Mark.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.